This is RNIB Connect Radio. Now, we've been talking to a number of people over the past few weeks about their experience during lockdown. But what about local charities? How have they been coping and how have they been keeping their communities together during the past year? Well, Sam Heaton works for the Kirklees Visual Impairment Network, KVIN, as it's known locally, and she joins me now to talk about it. Sam, I know you're the communications officer there, you're visually impaired yourself. Tell us a bit about the organisation and how you've coped during the past year.
We're a local vision loss charity, obviously, and we basically offer peer and technology and daily living advice to anyone in our area and further afield living with the issues of vision loss. So we can help people with iPhones, Android phones, just give that friendly ear if someone is struggling emotionally with dealing with vision loss. And we can also just offer daily tips, little things we've picked up that just make life a little bit easier.
And I'm guessing since lockdown, you've been all working from home and you've had to support people remotely, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Majority of our work is now home-based, either over the phone or online. So we're using a lot of WhatsApp, a lot of Zoom. We're also using our social media, so YouTube. We're putting some videos and things on there. Again, just sharing hints, tips and ideas. And we're also using like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, other platforms to kind of get the help and support across to people.
When you found out that everyone would have to work remotely, you would have to, I guess, get your staff and your members to get to grips with technology very quickly, I'd imagine. So how did that go?
Amazingly, we did it really quick. The week before we went into lockdown, a couple of my team members, Dan and Mark at the time, a lot more techie than me, and they were talking about Zoom, which, to be honest, me and other members of the team, we'd never heard of it. But a week later, we were all on it. And a week after that, we'd got many of our members on as well. We were doing sessions over the phone, you know, kind of telling people how they'd need to get on this app. And within the first few months, we've got 60 members on board taking part in Zoom sessions, which was definitely a positive story, isn't it, in lockdown. Obviously had to give up face-to-face sessions, which had proved really popular and were growing. So it was nice that we could keep connected and keep everyone else connected with each other in such a positive way.
And people of all ages, I'm guessing, as well.
Definitely, yeah. Our youngest members are in the 20s, and we've had people right into their 80s on the Zoom sessions. We've also got 4 phone groups running at the minute as well for those who aren't online or who would struggle with Zoom. So again, we're trying to cater for everyone.
Now, I don't need to ask you if people are finding these valuable or not, because you put out a fantastic podcast, which people should absolutely go and check out. Just search for your free podcast and we'll get the details at the end. But I just want to play a little bit of that, if that's okay, Sam, because these are the voices of your members speaking about their experience of your organisation, but also using the technology to connect with others. Let's listen to them.
Using Zoom over the last 12 months has been an absolute great addition to the way we communicate. It's a great way of keeping in touch with all our friends and family and big groups of people to do seminars and web chats, and just to have a laugh and know you're not alone, just sat in your lounge looking at your phone or your computer or your tablet.
Well, when we went into lockdown last March, I'd heard of Zoom, but I'd never used it. I'd also never used WhatsApp, which most of us use to access Zoom. So it was a quick learn for all of us. But then we were away, and it's been good to be able to chat to one another and pass an hour on 3 of the days of the week. And it's been something to focus on.
Great to hear the voices of your network there, and we'll tell you more about how you can listen to the podcast in full in a few moments' time. But first, Sam, I just want to ask you, you know, when it comes to training someone in their 80s, say, how to use technology, and I'm sure lots of us have had situations where we've had to train family members on how to use technology, what's the secret to it when it comes to getting someone interested in tech in, say, their 80s?
There isn't really a secret. It depends on the individual. Some people will pick it up quick, others may take several weeks. So we'll just talk them through how to download the app first, which is Zoom Cloud Meetings. Obviously, that may take a session. We may get it done in a few minutes. It depends on the individual. And then we just go out from there. So sometimes we'll run a little trial session where it's just maybe myself or a colleague and that person, just to try and get them on without the pressure of trying to do it in a group situation. Others are just willing to just dive in. So again, it's entirely on the individual and their own speed and capability learning.
I asked that question because trying to teach my mother, who's in her 60s, how to use Facebook on an iPad has been a nightmare. Although in saying that, once she figured out that she could just follow everything I was doing, she got to grips with it far more quickly. You know, I think that's the thing about technology, isn't it? That people who are passionate about it, you know, will evangelize. I do a lot. I'll talk about how wonderful technology is. But, you know, it's hard for a lot of people to comprehend. And it's also hard for people to see the need for it in their own lives. But when somebody has a purpose for it, that does make it easier, doesn't it? And really, in that case, it doesn't matter what age you are, because if someone wants to connect with someone else, they'll figure out a way.
Definitely. It's all to do with peer-to-peer as well, because a lot of us within KVIN were visually impaired as well. So we understand kind of if someone is having difficulty with a particular part of the app, we can understand where they're coming from and we can talk them through exactly what we do in that situation. And I think that helps.
Yeah, that does help, doesn't it? Because you're giving support to someone who they understand that you understand. That's the key to this, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
So people obviously are listening to this and learning about perhaps your organisation for the first time. Tell us again about the areas you serve and how people could connect with you now.
We serve mainly at the minute Kirklees. That's because before lockdown we were based geographically there. However, we're also covering a lot of other areas now. Because we are online, we can pretty much connect with anyone. So we've got people from Lincolnshire, from Manchester, from the Northeast. So basically you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We also have a website. Simply search for Kirklees Visual Impairment Network and you will find us.
And the podcast as well, I was mentioning earlier?
That's available via our YouTube channel.
Okay, brilliant. Sam Heaton from KVIN, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts on this and also doing the work you've done to keep your community connected. It's just fabulous. Thanks for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio today.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.